Winter is in the air. There was no doubt about that as I walked from South Station to the Globe headquarters this morning, and the Winter Olympics are in the air as well. I'm Matt Pepin, online sports editor here at the Globe, in for Chris Gasper. It's Thursday, December 7th, and this is Season Ticket. As hard as it may be to believe, the Winter Olympics are just 2 months away. They're in the spotlight this week because the International Olympic Committee has announced it's banning Russia from the Pyeongchang Games. For some insight on what will be one of the biggest stories at the 2018 Olympics, we've brought in one of the world's leading authorities on the Olympics, USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan. Christine, welcome to Season Ticket.
Matt, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
In addition to being a sports columnist at USA Today, Christine has covered 17 Olympics and is a best-selling author. Do you have a favorite memory from covering the games or anything that really stands out as you look back on your time covering the Olympics?
You know, I think for me, I'll pick one summer and one winter that really stand out. And the winter would have to be the 1994 Lillehammer Olympics, which, of course, is still near and dear, I'm sure, to many Bostonians and Globe fans because of Nancy Kerrigan and, of course, Tanya Harding. And we all laugh and joke about it now, but I'm in this new movie's coming out, I, Tanya, and I've seen a screener for it. And I will continue to say, as I have in every platform I can, that while we laugh about it and joke about it, and Tanya and her gang of merry men were absolutely ridiculous, and what a story. We'll never see a sports story like it. Everyone says, Matt, oh, this is kind of like Tanya and Nancy. No, it is not. There will never be another one. But we cannot forget that Nancy Kerrigan was attacked.
Why?
And it's very lucky that it was a bruised knee and nothing worse, and it spurred her on to the greatest performance of her life in the silver medal, which I believe should have been the gold medal at the 94 games in Lillehammer.
Tremendous reception. Absolutely tremendous. Well, Nancy should be very pleased with that.
But you know, it was an attack on Nancy Kerrigan. So the next couple of months, people are going to be laughing at Tanya and hearing a lot about Tanya Harding. Let's not forget the class and grace and dignity of Nancy Kerrigan to handle herself the way she did. Boston, of course, through and through, all the way through that, and be the quality person and class act that she is today. So that you can't top that for a Winter Olympics. And then summer, I'm going to pick one that most people don't. Athens, 2004. You know, when you love the Olympics, and as so many of us do, and you get to go to the birthplace of the Olympics and cover the games, oh my God, there's just nothing more fun than that. And to, you know, to have the marathons, the men's and women's marathon and the Paralympic marathons as well, start in Marathon, you know, and to have the ancient Olympia, the home of the shot put. And I went there, and, you know, we're sitting there on the green there, the grass. We think Fenway Park is old or Wimbledon is old. And, you know, here's a place that was around, you know, BC and, you know, before Christ. And, you know, wow. And so I think those are my two favorite, one each summer and winter.
So let's turn to Russia and IOC President Thomas Bach's announcement on Tuesday.
The Russian Olympic Committee is suspended with immediate effect.
You wrote in November that it was time for the International Olympic Committee to throw Russia out of the Olympics. Now they've done it. Were you surprised when you heard they actually did it?
Yes, Matt, I was. I was. I mean, I still think a blanket ban, just gone, you know, no chance to have anyone come back, would have been the ultimate message to the Russians, and I would include the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, in that. That's not what they did, but I also understand why they didn't do that, because we know there are some clean athletes, or we presume there are some clean athletes in Russia. Certainly there's some young athletes who were not in Sochi, were not involved in that diabolical James Bond-esque scheme of passing urine, bad, dirty urine through a hole in the wall and then bringing the clean urine out and other ways to tamper with the vials and cheat and steal medals from athletes from around the world who deserve them, whose countries are doing things the right way. So we know there were some clean athletes. So I understand what they did, which is they're banned, suspended from the Olympics. The entire Russian delegation, their officials can't go. A couple of them are banned for life. Of course, as I'm sure many folks have now heard, no Russian national anthem, no Russian flag, and no Russian insignia on the athletes' uniforms, any of their official wear. It will be this bizarre name, as I think people have heard, but in case they haven't, Olympic athlete from Russia. It's kind of like putting on a name tag. Hi, my name is Jim. You know, I think that's, people have said, well, they still get the name Russia in there. But the flip side is that's so goofy. I mean, what a ring to it, right? Olympic athlete from Russia, OAR. And that's what they're going to be. So the ignominy, the disgrace of having to athlete win a gold medal and having he or she stand there and there's no, it's the Olympic hymn and the Olympic flag. I think that's significant. And again, we know already that 25 athletes from Sochi, if they had made it, or, you know, made the Russian team, cannot go. They've been banned already because of the Sochi cheating. And that's 11 medals that were taken away, dropping the Russians from first in the medal standings in 2014, which was huge for Putin, down to, I think they're fourth right now, fourth or fifth. And, you know, and that's exactly where they belong. And I think that there is still such a strong element of a suspension and ban that even though it's not blanket, even though there will be Russians there and you will see the name Russia in that kind of goofy catchphrase that they've got for them, it's still, to me, a very valid punishment and the right one. And hopefully it's the kind of message. I mean, this is what you really hope, Matt, is that they're sending the message, don't do this again. You know, because the Russians aren't happy and Putin's not happy. Well, okay, let's hope you guys clean up your act, because so far they haven't. Their doping, anti-doping agency, which Russia anti-doping agency is an oxymoron, is still not accredited because of the shenanigans they continue to pull. So I think it's probably the best case scenario. And we'll see some Russians, but whether it's, you know, 20, 50, 100, there were 230 Russian athletes in Sochi. There will not be anywhere near that many in Pyeongchang.
You also wrote in November that it would have been okay if some clean athletes were the collateral damage from a complete Russia ban. But as you mentioned, the IOC has provided a way to avoid that. So what do you think of the guidelines that they have set forth for clean athletes to compete under the Olympic flag?
Yeah, that's a great point. First, on that collateral damage, absolutely, I did say that. But I said that, and I think it's important to say, you're going to lose clean athletes. You're going to harm clean athletes one way or the other in this. And again, if you had done the complete boycott, you would have harmed whatever clean Russian athletes were going to make it to the 2018 Games. If you did no boycott, which, of course, we certainly thought was a possibility, more like the Rio thing where they basically, you know, Thomas Bach, the IOC president, kicked the can down the road and really disgracefully did very little, put it back to the sports federations, track and field, kick the Russians out, et cetera, but most didn't. Well, if you do that, then you're harming all the athletes from all the other countries who are doing it by the rules. And, you know, the really bad thing, I think, is people, because it's hard. You go, well, oh, gosh, we don't want to lose any scoop up any clean athletes from Russia in the midst of this, right? Well, I mean, that's understandable. It's the conversation about NCAA violations and they impact, you know, kids at USC or at Baylor who were not there when it happened. You know, that's that age old conversation. But the flip side of this is if you don't do that, then good, hardworking athletes in Canada, the US, Japan, South Korea, England, Germany, France, you name it, they are then, instead of winning a gold, they win a silver or bronze because someone stole it from them. Or even maybe worse, instead of coming in third, winning the bronze, they finish fourth. They're off the medal stand. And even if they get a medal back, they get it in FedEx and they open it and at their kitchen table. And that's how they got their medal. And they're deprived of all of that wonderful ceremony and joy of celebrating. So that's the whole point of you're going to have some clean athlete, unfortunately, get caught in the mix. And I would certainly, if you have to do that, and I believe you have to, you err on the side of letting the nations that are doing it right come to the Olympics. And the Russians, who have state-sponsored diabolical doping, you unfortunately ensnare their, if they have clean athletes, you ensnare them. So anyway, that's that point. And this is going to be very interesting. There's supposedly going to be a four-person panel, Matt, that is going to be independent, we hope, and I'm going to be on top of it as our other journalists, of course. And they will be the World Anti-Doping Agency involved, and hopefully maybe one representative of a national anti-doping agency. And they are going to be looking at these cases. So what are they looking for? They're looking for drug tests that athletes have taken outside of Russia. So all these athletes, whether they're losers, whether they're skiers, whether they're figure skaters, are competing around the world. And they're being drug tested, both urine and blood, around the world. So that's the good news for Russian athletes. If they competed like a figure skater at Skate America in Lake Placid a few weeks ago, if they competed at Skate Canada, if they competed in Japan and in France and have those tests, they can show those tests to this committee, this panel, and say, look, here's proof. I've had 5-7 tests around the world the last year, and they all came back clean. So that's one way to do it. If you've just been tested inside Mother Russia, you are in big trouble because you cannot trust Russian testing today. They can look at, of course, the McLaren report, which had all the goods on these athletes before. If your name's on that, you can't come back. And I think it's going to be quite a process of checking and very complicated of looking at records and interviewing athletes, probably interviewing doping officials from around the world to go through each athlete to clear him or her. And it's going to be involved, and it should be involved, because this is, again, you want to watch, you know, a skiing race, you want to watch a figure skating event, you want to watch a hockey game, men's, women's, whatever, and you want to trust that what you're seeing is true and as honest as you can hope it would be. And you've got to do that with these Russian athletes because they're coming from a system that is rotten to the core. So anyway, that's kind of how it's going to work. I think there's a lot yet to come. I talked to a source yesterday who said, get back to me because we're still trying to figure out what's going on. So that's how new this news is.
Yeah, the integrity of the games is of paramount importance because everyone already has the natural suspicion surrounding this. And certainly other athletes have had that as well. What have you heard from other athletes about the decision to ban Russia?
Well, certainly the Russians aren't happy. And there's been talk from Evgeny Plyshenko, former gold medalist, a past gold medalist from Russia, that, you know, they should go to the Olympics. And Evgenia Medvedeva, who is the 2-time world champ in women's figure skating, who's injured right now, but will be the gold medal favorite, assuming she's healthy. And, you know, she's talking about wanting to go. And Putin himself gave the go ahead, you know, to go. The Russian athletes are not happy. Those who have been banned, and there have been quite a few, as I said, about 25 have already been banned because of previous doping violations. They will not then be allowed in unless the Court of Arbitration for Sport, some kind of arbitration, gets them in. Again, that's going to be going on concurrently. So you've got all that. They're not happy, and they shouldn't be happy. And, most of us should tell them to go pound sand because, let's be honest here, the cheating has been the worst since East Germany. And so if they're not happy, well, that's probably a good thing because maybe they're going to learn a lesson. I wasn't born yesterday, so, but we'll see. The rest of the world, most athletes, everyone wants clean sport. They say they want clean sport. And again, we're presuming that these other athletes are clean and, you know, who knows? There are cheaters around the world. The U.S. gave the world Lance Armstrong and Marion Jones, the greatest his and her cheaters in history. So there you go. But at least they were not state sponsored. They went against their country, as opposed to the Russians being in compliance with their country with doping. And certainly the anti-doping agencies around the world, Matt, and many Olympic committees, I think, are very happy because they have been frustrated. They've been pulling their hair out over what Russia's done and the fact that they didn't get punished severely going into Rio. It happened right before Rio. Nonetheless, it could have happened there. I think this is a day that they were, many of nations around the world, Olympic committees were hoping would come, and it did come, and I think there is happiness in that.
We'll have more with Olympics writer Christine Brennan, including her take on a surprising announcement about Team USA's participation. Stay with us. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, be sure to subscribe to us. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with Christine Brennan. On Wednesday, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley spoke up about the U.S. participation in the 2018 Games, given the political climate with North Korea. Here's what she had to say on Fox News.
You know, is the United States recommending that our team goes, or is that still an open question given this environment?
There's an open question. I have not heard anything about that, but I do know that in the talks that we have, whether it's Jerusalem, whether it's North Korea, it's always about how do we protect the U.S. citizens in the area. And so that's
Christine, what are we to make of this?
Wow, I think it's a big deal. It's certainly a change from what we've been thinking and hearing from anything from the U.S. Olympic Committee to U.S. athletes and others from around the world, that it's, you know, an open question that whether the U.S. athletes will be going to the Olympics or not is a big deal. And it's coming from the U.N. ambassador and obviously a very esteemed member of the president's cabinet and a person who knows, you know, Nikki Haley knows what's going on. There's no doubt about that. So I think that because this news has hit as we're speaking over the last few hours, I think, we'll see how it plays out. I am sure that the U.S. Olympic Committee, people I talked to and have known for years, who are all systems go, you know, they're like, we're going to take care of our athletes. We do that every time. There's always issues, and we're moving ahead and we're planning to be there. Well, the words open question certainly are, they get your attention. Let's put it that way. And I would say this, you know, I don't think that means there's not going to be an Olympics. I don't think that means that there's going to be a boycott. You know, everyone kind of, oh, boycott. No. It would be if the U.S. doesn't go, then my guess is no one's going to go. And it would be a safety issue for the athletes, understandably. It also, I have no idea, but it could be a bit of a shot across the bow that to South Korea and to other countries that, that North Korea is a problem here and the U.S. is taking it very seriously. I think the bottom line on any of these things, the Olympics has had its horrors. Certainly the worst by far was were the 1972 games in Munich, where 11 Israeli athletes and coaches were murdered.
Our worst fears have been realized tonight. They've now said that there were 11 hostages. Two were killed in their rooms yesterday morning. 9 were killed at the airport tonight. They're all gone.
And so the Olympic Games have always, the old question are they have or has, the Games have always been a target. And anyone who's a part of them, whether a journalist like myself, so privileged to cover them, or athletes, coaches, Olympic committees from around the world, they know that. And you come in knowing that. And so this is a very fragile and delicate balance. I've been asked a lot of times by friends, family, others, colleagues, you know, are you afraid to go? No, I'm excited to go and I want to go and I'm planning on it. And so I think, you know, we're all planning on it at this point. But obviously the threat of nuclear war and the battle between North Korea and the United States and North Korea and South Korea is very, very significant. And an Olympic Games pales in comparison. And then, of course, the lives of athletes, young athletes and everyone else going over to a Games is certainly are paramount to any medal conversation or anything we've been talking about. And so that's the world we're in and we'll see how it plays out. But I do think it's a big deal that she said that.
Nonetheless, I do feel like the Games are going to go on. So let's turn our attention to those Games in February. And beyond the Russia decision and the political climate, what do you think is the biggest storyline that's going to emerge there?
Well, I do think it will still be how the Games are coming off. Now, there are great stories. There are always great stories going into an Olympics. And I think one of the really fun ones that we're going to watch, if now we can move from the serious, very serious world that we've just been discussing the last few minutes to sports. And
it did get heavy, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And that's as it should be, because that's the Olympics. But, you know, something like the women's ice hockey. I know hockey is big for a lot of your podcast listeners and men's and women's, and the great respect that people have for women, the women's game in the Boston area and in New England and obviously wherever Globe fans are. And so I think, that story of the U.S. women fighting for equal pay and actually holding out and getting concessions made to them back in last March, that as that plays out now as they try to beat their arch nemesis Canada and win a gold that has been very elusive over the last several Olympics, the U.S.-Canada game will be huge. And assuming they play for the gold medal again. So, you know, that's going to be fun. The men's hockey is kind of a mess, you know, with the NHL not wanting to stop. But Russia and the KHL, you know, seeing how they're playing it, because I know they were not happy at all with any kind of Russian ban. So that's what we're going to see. How's that going to look? A little bit of a mix of 1980, can you believe in miracles, with the total pro world it's of the NHL, from the past. It's going to be fun to see as well. Mikayla Shiffrin is back, the skier. and she won a gold in Sochi, and she's a rock star, and we're going to be watching her and seeing how she does. You know, I do keep an eye on figure skating quite closely, as the great John Powers. I'll probably be rubbing elbows with him in the mix zone there. And that will be interesting, what happens with the Russians, because Russia, of course, has such a dominant skating presence always. For in men's figure skating, the gold medal favorite right now, or one of the medal favorites, certainly, is Nathan Chen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Chen.
When you think about the names and the history, from Dick Button to Scott Hamilton to Brian Boitano, this man right here may be poised to become the next great name in American men's skating.
Great young man. Terrific, smart, interesting, and the perfect face of U.S. figure skating. So there are lots of other stories, and obviously we'll be focusing on them as we get closer to the games, but those are a few highlights for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Plenty of drama for us, for sure. But one aspect of the competition, one storyline, will be someone who is not there. So let's talk about Gracie Gold, the figure skater who many Bostonians were introduced to at the 2016 World Championships that were held right here in Boston. You wrote about her taking time away from skating to deal with several issues. Could you tell us how that story came about, and what's the latest with Gracie Gold?
Yeah, this was tough. Gracie Gold is one of the great skaters of the last, in the world, in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. She came in fourth at the Olympics in Sochi, and there was some thought for a while if one of the Russian who won somehow got the medal taken away. She did not. But if she had, that Gracie would have moved up to the bronze. And she was the team bronze medalist with her U.S. teammates, Gracie Gold was. And what a name, right? Gracie Gold. And I don't particularly care about athletes' looks, but she's not only an incredible talent and a very smart person. I want to emphasize that first and foremost on the ice, just a great athlete and skilled and strong, but also this fabulous kind of Grace Kelly look to her. And with that last name, Gold, really the total package. And it proves, Matt, that we just don't know what's going on sometimes, and we have no idea knowing what's happening with skaters. So she had a bad long program in Boston at the Worlds, and her rival and teammate, Ashley Wagner, rose to the occasion and won the silver, and Gracie finished fourth, and that was devastating to Gracie. So even though she was the two-time national champ, she did not do well at those home worlds at in the U.S. in Boston, and that really devastated her. And so she kind of went into a tailspin, and I saw her again. That was April of 16. I saw her again in October of 16 at Skate America in Chicago. And now I'm, you know, following the sport a little more as we're getting closer and closer to the 2018 Olympics. And she's up there and did not perform well, and is talking just to a couple of us there and right in front of me, and is talking about her weight and that she's just not the right weight, and she knows she's not, and she's talking about her weight. And I said, Gracie, you look fine. You look great. Because you saw someone kind of crumbling before your eyes. Another journalist also joined in and said, no, you're terrific. And I felt at that time it was more important to speak to her as a human being than as a journalist to an athlete. And no, she said, but for this sport, you've got to be a certain weight. Anyway, weight. Scary stuff. And she did not have a good year. She did gain some weight. Now, again, if you saw her walking on the street, she looked terrific. And you would say she looked unbelievably fit. And frankly, she still looked fit. But in figure skating, to get off the ice for those jumps, obviously, you have to have a certain weight and a certain body type. And that's what Gracie was talking about. These are huge issues. There are issues in gymnastics, in figure skating, and all those sports where young girls and young women compete. And I've written about them. I've written a book that includes stories about them, and it's very troublesome. So there's no way a couple minutes on a podcast can handle this, as, of course, I know you and your listeners understand. But I was able to find out that she was going to be taking some time off for this season, and you don't take time off in the Olympic year unless there's trouble and you want to really work on it, which is great, to her great credit that she's done that. And I was able to break that story. What was that, in the fall? And then she subsequently came out and said she'd actually gone, was getting some treatment for eating issues and other things that she's dealing with. And I applaud that. And I think most of her fans have applauded that. So she's out. And it's sad, on one level. On the sports level, Matt, it's sad. It's too bad because she's, as I said, a great talent and a great skater and excellent competitor. But on another level, bravo to her for stepping back, for making this very courageous decision to leave the sport at its most important time and sponsors there and money on the table and say, I've got to deal with the issues I'm dealing with. And let's hope she gets everything back the way she wants it to be, whether she ever hits the ice again as a figure skater or not. That's incidental to Gracie's well-being. She's a really good person, and she's got a lot to offer this world, whether she's landing triple jumps or not.
Christine, we've really enjoyed the conversation, and thanks again for taking the time to join us. I look forward to seeing you in Pyeongchang.
Same here. I hope we're there, and thanks so much. It's been a delight and a pleasure, a great honor to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Be sure to read Christine in USA Today, and you can follow her on Twitter at C. Brennan Sports. And that's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend, leave us a review. I'm Matt Pepin, in for Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.